Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 7, 2017. If you want to become part of the show, the number here in the studio is 254-697-6633. Feel free to give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Go to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gunshop. Like us. Become a subscriber on YouTube. Lots of great videos there, especially of attorney Benton Ross Watson, attorney Rick Dodd. We've got great, I don't know what you call them, episodes or segments there that you can review with penal codes and all different things that we talk about in the license to carry segment and beyond. So you can check it out. Plus, we've got gun demos, the whole works. But right now with me, I've got super attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, welcome to the show, first of all.
Hey, it's good to be here. I mean, always a beautiful day to show up here.
It's like you and Ross are on a rotational basis. You're a tag team match. When one's out, the other one comes in. So it's a great team you guys got going
on. Yeah, I enjoy listening to Ross. He's a good guy, smart fella.
Okay, but now since you're here and I address you as super attorney, it brings up a couple things. I noticed here, saw in the paper a couple weeks ago that you were named as a top 100 attorney. Let me say something about that. You're a super attorney. You're a good old boy. There's all these different legal terms given to an attorney. Can you explain this top 100 attorney thing and then how you become all these others?
Well, the main thing is I'm a Cameron Yeoman.
That's important.
From okay. Ohio, you know, we're still proud of that. And I've been practicing here in Milam County for 35 years. So to become a super attorney or in the top 100, basically what it is a peer review process. In other words, other attorneys nominate you. Super attorney is something that's done by our Texas Monthly magazine group, and the top 100 is a group of national attorneys. I'm more proud, though, of the...
Back up. The top 100 is of national.
Yes.
How do they... That's very good. How do they... What criteria are they using to get you in that status?
They look at... Primarily, it's a peer review thing. In other words, other attorneys have to nominate you. So, you know, when you're in the courthouse watching the ballet, other lawyers who know what the ballet should be like is able to have an opinion more so than, say, a client who comes off the street and you do a good job for him one time. So they get to see you a number of times, and that's what puts you into super attorney or the top 100. But, you know, it's just like any other kind of teamwork thing. You have to have a good team, and that's what I'm most proud of, and I think what I've done is surround myself by a good team, and that has actually gotten me into the Newsweek top 10 of the law firms in the United States, right here in Cameron, Texas.
You know, not to lessen your position as an attorney, one of the top 100 attorneys, but you said something vital, the team.
Yes.
Without the team, you can't make it.
That's absolutely true.
It's like I look at the crew that I've got helping me here with the show. I couldn't do this without everybody involved in it. And so I can understand totally that the team makes the attorney.
That's right. One of the attorneys on my team is double board certified. You know, like if you were to go have an operation, you wouldn't go to the general practitioner to have a heart transplant. You would go to someone who's board certified in cardiac surgery.
Right.
So Capolino, he's board certified in personal injury trial law and in civil trial law. And we're going to talk a little bit about civil versus criminal in a minute. Another member of my team is Ryan Krebs, and he's a medical doctor. And you can imagine the information and knowledge that he brings into the courtroom when we're working with someone who's been in a bad truck wreck or who's been hurt by asbestos. Craig Brown is another member of the team. He's passionate, and that passion shows through to the jury every day when he gets in front of them. Valerie Farwell, she has been writing briefs and arguing in front of judges for 20 years now, and excellent part of the team.
We're good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm proud of them.
That's awesome. So how do you want to start this then?
Well, you asked me to come in and talk a little bit about what the difference between civil law and criminal law is. And it's really simple, Matt. Everything that's not criminal law.
Let me guess. It's going to be civil.
That's right. You got it.
So how does it break from civil to criminal? Well, I'm sure you're going to tell us, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. Sometimes those breaks can be confusing. The biggest difference, of course, is criminal law is statutes. In other words, when you break the law, you break a criminal law. And it can be as simple as a speeding ticket where you get a ticket and it's still a criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And of course, it can be a lot more simple, whereas if you kill someone during the commission of a felony, you can be executed.
Major extremes, yeah. Class C to execution, I get it.
Yeah, it's a big spectrum there. So civil law, of course, it involves like family law, it involves probate law, contract law, tort law, administrative law, all the other areas where you might go to court. The good thing about those cases is you don't get sent to jail for a criminal offense. Now, the confusion comes in that you can get sent to jail for contempt of court.
What is contempt of court? Like when they say, the judge says, I'll put you in contempt. What is that?
It's not a crime. It's a civil obligation that the judge has put you in jail, but you hold the keys. In other words, is if you do what the judge has told you to do, you're no longer in contempt. And you can sit in jail for weeks, months, maybe even years. If you have the ability to do what the judge has said to do, your civil rights are not violated. And, you know, we see that most often in child support. There's a money tree that grows between the jailhouse and the courthouse. And most of the time when the judge says, well, you're going to go to jail for not paying your child support, they go out and pick some fruit from the money tree and take care of their obligations. Some other examples would be in discovery process that I work with a lot as a civil trial lawyer. I have the right, my clients have the right to look at documents and look at information that the other side may have that is relevant to our case. And if the other side doesn't provide that, the judge may order them to provide that, and he'll give them a certain amount of time. In other words, there's due process. And then if they show up and they say, no, judge, we're just not going to do it. We're not going to supply copies of our tax information, for instance. And he says, well, I know you can do it. So you're going to go to jail over here on a civil contempt charge until you go ahead and do that. So again, they have the opportunity. They hold the keys. They can get out whenever they want to. Even though it's jail, it's still a civil situation. What's
that? How does that apply on your record? Does it apply on your record? Or is it just
Okay. So yeah, there's another big distinction. A good question. Only the civil things, the speeding, for instance, or if your woofers and tweeters are a little bit too loud when you drive through town, criminal offense, that goes on your record. The contempt does not. Of course, it shows up at the jail that you were checked in and checked out, but it doesn't go on your criminal record because it's not a crime.
So it's almost, you can't win almost, unless you decide to stay in there and hold your ground. Sooner or later, you're going to want out, and sooner or later, the judge gets what he wants.
That's true. The only other way to get out is to comply with the law or prove that you cannot comply with the law, which means that then you are have a civil violation against you by the court. In other words, your civil rights have been violated.
What if you're put in contempt and then for some reason you're in there as the trial's going on and then the trial for some reason is over? Are you still stuck in there or is it like nullify the reason why you're in there?
Well, generally the contempt is not happened during a trial. I mean, in other words, there are some situations where the judge might remove a defendant from the courtroom during a criminal trial because they're making too much noise, being rowdy, in other words, just disturbing the whole general process. But he'll give them a couple of three warnings before he removes them. Generally, those kinds of defendants are not out on bail in the first place. So now, going back to jail is like back to home.
if we go to Hollywood, though, you're going to see the attorney getting all riled up and the judge says, I'm going to hold you in contempt. Does that ever happen here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ross isn't one of those, is he?
Well, I know
he gets fired up.
I'm not just saying Ross, but, I've been there a couple times. It's a chilling thing when the judge says, the jailhouse is right across the street, Mr. Dodd. You need to calm down. Yes, sir, Your Honor.
It's amazing how you humble when you hear those words, jailhouse.
Well, it's just like when you talk to a police officer. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Can you apply any of this? I know you can, but do you have anything off the top of your head that you can apply towards license to carry? Since this is a license to carry segment, a lot of people who have a license may want to know the most common episodes of this criminal going to civil to criminal or vice versa?
Well, if you are licensed to carry and you're complying with all the laws, that doesn't mean you will not be arrested. I mean, that's sometimes the officers mistake the fact that you're being legal for a possibility of you being illegal and you get arrested. So yeah, it's a good idea to have the double shot bail bond number handy in case something like that happens.
Twin pistols, everybody. Twin pistols.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Twin pistols. Okay.
Are you in jail? Do you need to get out? Remember, call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the double shot. I think that was where the liquor store and the gun store were all together.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. How about this? This is a great example. You have defense of a third person. Scrap that. You have reckless injury of an innocent third person. I like to use this example in my class.
Reckless injury sounds like a civil situation.
But I want to clarify. Here you are, a person who's unskilled with a weapon. And there's the threat in front of you. And they're not paying attention to the backstop, the people right around this individual. They got a high-capacity weapon, handgun, let's say a Glock or something. And because of their lack of training, and they're extremely fearful, and they thought that the paper that allowed them to carry a gun covers everything, the threat comes, and they freak out and shoot all 17 rounds. Don't hit the guy, but you got 10 bodies laying on the ground. That's, in my opinion, extremely reckless.
I agree.
As compared to, you have the same person, but is trained, knows what they're doing, takes a good, clean shot, hits a bone, let's say bounces off one of the bones, comes out a secondary spot in the threat's body, and goes into the cheek of a person standing right next to them. In my humble opinion, that would be civil because it wasn't meant, it was an accident, but I'm still accountable for my rounds.
Well, when you say in your opinion, that's a good thing that it's your opinion. If you were on the jury, it would be a better thing that that was your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the jury is charged with determining whether it was reasonable. In other words, what you did, was it reasonable? If, in other words, the person who's a threat was holding that Glock and pointing at you, it might be more reasonable that you fired all 17 rounds than if he was just standing there with a Bowie knife in his hand 20 yards away. That would be unreasonable. Even if you shot him...
How many yards?
20 yards away.
20 yards? It's 21 feet. Okay, because it's 21 feet, man, he's getting shot. Because yeah. I know how fast a guy can run.
I understand that. Okay. But even if he's holding, you know, some sort of a buttstock gun and you know he's fixing to fire it at you, then you might want to go ahead and shoot those 17 rounds. And the jury might decide that that was reasonable under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you may have missed a whole bunch, and even though you may not have been as good a shot as you thought you were when you started firing those rounds, they still might think that's reasonable. But like I said in some of the segments before, that might be true in Milam County. It may not be true in Harris County.
Is that solely because of the opinion of the jury?
That's right, because the juries are different. It could be true in Milam County this week, but not next week.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Well, it's 12 different people, and it's the best system in the world.
You know, I love you guys. I love you. I love Ross. But, man, I look at this law book, and I just want to burn it. It's like, what good is it?
You'd have an awful big fire because because right now, over in the federal library, there's 32 feet of codes for the federal statutes.
32 feet of codes.
Yep. Yep. It takes up a lot of shelf space. Then in New York State, there's 22 feet of codes. Now, this is criminal code, so nobody can ever know everything that's in there. But then you got to remember, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. So you say you want to burn
why you
them.
Is that why the person sits in jail so long? They go, we got him on something. I know there's something in that book, that 32-foot long wall of code. I'm going to find something. It's going to take a while. Is that what they do?
Well, no, they can't do that. They have to charge you something relatively quick. And then, of course, one of the rights that you have if you're in jail is a right to a speedy trial. I mean, there are certain protection for criminal defendants.
If you're lucky, you can get bonded out by twin pistol bail bonds, right?
Well,
Cameron, have you been arrested?
Sometimes that's an unlucky thing. I mean, and, you know, that's for another day. But, you know, being in jail, sometimes the sheriff wants you out. So being in jail may not necessarily be a bad thing, depending on how guilty you are or what kind of video they have. But you got to remember, there are certain protections that our Constitution gives all criminal defendants. And one of them is no ex post facto. In other words, you can't have done something and then tomorrow the legislature pass a law and say that's illegal, and then you be arrested for what you did the day before that.
Well, can it reverse around? If you did something illegal, they change the law, and then it's okay? Can you get out, or are you still stuck on the old law?
Well, if you do something after the law is in effect, then you're a criminal, if it's a crime.
No, what I'm saying is you did a criminal act, but the next day they changed the law and it said what you did yesterday is no longer against the law. Does it work that way too?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes. It does.
I didn't know that. I thought because, you know, they're basing you on the actions of laws in place. I thought.
Well, we're seeing, and when I say it works both ways, I think what it means is basically the punishments can be retracted. We're seeing that today in situations where crack cocaine, for instance, was treated differently regular cocaine. And so they've evened those out in the federal statute. So the folks who had the greater sentence on the crack cocaine are now being let out of jail because it was basically unconstitutional what was happening to them under the Equal Protection Clause.
Are they doing that too on death rows? They've adapted or adjusted those who are on death row, depending on what it was. They either change it to life sentences, or is that if you were under 18 or something?
Well, sometimes when the laws that were in place that the jury were charged with determining whether or not you should be put to death or found unconstitutional, then they are commuted to life in prison.
Okay, let's do this. O.J. Simpson just got out not too long ago, so it's fresh in everybody's mind. And he got arrested on that one because...
That's one of the more famous criminal trials that we've seen, and actually one of the best examples of the difference between criminal and civil.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about. But just to get us up to date, he got arrested, I think it was 9 years ago, for gun... He had a gun in possession, stealing back, supposedly, his sports paraphernalia.
Yeah, I think it was burglary, while armed.
Okay.
They call it armed burglary.
Well, obviously, before that, he was charged with murder of Nicole, his wife, and
Goldman,
okay? Now, he was being charged criminally, but got off on that and then was charged civilly. So why don't you explain that, since a lot of people know and maybe
we'll
clarify.
Well, okay, one of the things that, another protection is protection against double jeopardy. And to give you an example there, if you were to go in to armed rob the CEFCO and somehow incidentally, I guess is not a good word, but someone was killed during your commission of that offense, they could try you for capital murder. If the jury found you innocent of that situation, they cannot come back and then try you for armed robbery. So typically what they do is they try you for all those offenses at the same time. The prosecutor has to make a decision during that process whether he wants the jury to go back to the deliberation room and say, well, we're not going to find him guilty if everybody will agree to the armed robbery. We're not going to find. So sometimes the prosecutor only gives the jury one choice. And every once in a while, it doesn't turn out right for the prosecutor and the defendant walks. But that doesn't apply when you look at criminal versus civil. You can go ahead and try someone for a criminal case and then turn around later and do the civil trial. The difference, of course, is that the civil trial will not result in jailable offense. It's only for about money. And a lot of times people...
I don't understand that, Rick. If you're being charged with a crime and you're not found guilty, how do they come back and get you money-wise on something you weren't guilty of?
Well, that's a simple thing. Being guilty and being responsible are two different things.
Clarify.
Being guilty requires a burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And there's no real number to put on that, but a lot of scholars, legal scholars, will say that means 99% certainty as there no doubt. In other words, the jury, again, Milam County, Harris County, wherever that jury is the one that determines what that burden means. But in civil trial, it's preponderance of the evidence. In other words, more likely than not. So for O.J., the first jury determined that the evidence was doubtful. There was some doubt. There was doubt that was more than beyond the reasonable doubt. But in the civil trial, they said, well, more likely than not, he did it.
Jeez, that's so weird.
Well, I don't think it's weird. I mean,
I understand what you're saying.
You know,
based
in America,
on...
we value our freedom. We value our freedom a lot more than money. And, you know, in America... corporations, for instance, have been determined to be people. Well, we can't put them in jail. Now, we can fine them, and we can hold them criminally responsible and try to take money, but that's not a whole lot different than the civil situation where you can take money. But in the civil situation, you got to remember that the plaintiff is an individual or another corporation, and they can sue for the harm that's been done to them. The harm that's been done to them typically would be like in contract law where the other side breaches the contract. The first party who sues them would be able to make that contract stick. In other words, specific performance, or if they were able to prove the damages caused to them because the contract was not performed, then they can make the other company or individual that they've sued pay those damages, plus their attorney's fees, plus some court cost. In tort law, the damages would include things like mental anguish, physical and pain, medical, physical impairment, lost wages, and then the spouse may have a claim for a loss of consortium. And of course, you can imagine that that would be very important in situations of death or amputation or a brain injury. We, you know, do a lot of brain injuries, so those are important cases. Within those, you have punitive and exemplary situations. That requires a little bit higher burden of proof in Texas, a clear and convincing evidence, which is still lower than beyond a reasonable doubt, but it is important that you're able to punish someone. And that's one of the bailiwicks of criminal law, too, is punishment. Under criminal law, not only are we looking at punishing someone, we're looking at trying, and punishment includes exemplary, in other words, deterrent. I mean, we want to deter the public from being going over to Seth Cohen robbing it every day because they know something bad can happen to them.
Like death penalty. You don't want to do it because you'll go to the...
Well, the death penalty is...
almost a safe place to be.
It's more,
right,
of a safety thing for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one of the four reasons that we have criminal laws is to protect the public, which you call it a deterrent also, because, you know, if you put somebody in prison, they're not going to go out and rob, rape, and pillage while they're in prison, supposedly. If you put someone to death, there certainly that ends that career.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are tough things to deal with. Also, rehabilitation, that's the one that we all like to really think happens in prison. And sometimes it does. And I kind of look at it like the starfish thing. You know, the guy who sees a million starfish on the beach and he goes out and throws a few of them in and somebody says, well, that's not going to help anything. And he says, well, it helps those.
That's true.
So
that's right.
If it does help somebody rehabilitate, that's a great thing.
Hey, can I pause you for a second? I got a question before,
sure,
I forget it, and I've always wanted to ask this. You commit a crime, and you do the time. Why is it when you get out, you still suffer if you supposedly did your time? Why does it have to follow you on your record? I understand why, but why should it affect you on your record if you went in and served your time that the public thought was necessary for you to redeem yourself?
Well, don't pretend to be a criminal expert, but the short answer is because you're a criminal. And studies are pretty complete that people who commit crimes are more likely than people who don't commit crimes to recommit crimes.
But everybody makes a mistake. What if they get corrected on their mistake? It haunts them. Can't there be like a second strike? You know how in California I had three strikes?
Well,
I'm not saying I'm
in
for
those
that.
Situations, you're talking about the three strikes. That means they go to prison forever.
Forever. But my point is, you got some people that make mistakes, and then they're young when they make these mistakes. I know some people around this locale who have made a mistake, and you know they're going to grow up and say, you know, that was pretty stupid, but they're going to be good to go the rest of their lives. But they got this thing following them.
Well, a lot of times the prosecution in most counties in Texas will notice this mistake. And the mistakes are pretty obvious when you use the word young and, you know, first time offense. You know, a lot of times when you see an 18-year-old who goes to jail or prison, it's because they have an extensive juvenile record that the judge looks at in the pre-sentencing. So the prosecutor has some discretion. The judge has some discretion. And one of the things they can do for a first offender is put them on what they call deferred adjudicated probation. So that if they live out the terms of that probation, they are never convicted. In other words, the adjudication mm-hmm. of conviction has been deferred. That's used a whole lot. But once they are convicted, they are then become a criminal. And, yes, it does follow them. A lot of the elements of what you say follows them for the life eliminates itself after about 10 years.
But the way you explain it makes sense. I just wasn't thinking far enough in advance. But that makes sense. If you got this record and you're proven... As compared to every now and then, you're going to have somebody who may not have a record but gets busted and is put in the slammer. But it was one of those things that they get out of it and they're going to become great citizens, but they got to have this follow them. But the way you explained it, I get it.
I mean, you still have the right to live a right to live under our Constitution when you get out of prison. So it's not all bad. But, yeah, there are some situations. I mean, there's been some legislative proposed about allowing people to vote mm-hmm. even though they have a felony conviction. We have a lot of things that have been written about that. There's a book called The New Jim Crow Laws that I read recently that talks a lot about that. And, you know, it's just one of those things where our legislators have to get together and agree on it. And right now, they don't agree on much.
Trey, how much time I got?
About 30 seconds.
Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you on here with such great information. What do you want to say in the last 30 seconds here to sum it all up, or if people can contact you? Because we'll have this up on video probably by Monday or Tuesday.
Sure. Well, of course, they can look at respectforyou.com, or they can give us a call at 1-800-460-0606. We hope you never need us, but if you do, we're there, sort of like an emergency room doctor.
That's great. These guys are great, everybody. You know, next week, don't forget, call us up with questions. It's free to access these guys, and they'd love to talk to you. So until we come back, enjoy the commercials. We'll be back on the other side, and we'll be going over some points of interest.
Yeah, we may not steer you right, but we sure won't steer you wrong.
Here you go.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. The number here is 254-697-6633. We got some topics of interest here, and if retired Green Beret Mark Boyer is not overrun by all the people there at the Grace Fest, he's going to give us a call and give us an update. But until then, and then right after this, we're going to have Janae. So, Janae, if I'm running short, we're going to let you run long, okay? All right, October 13th, that's next Friday, Friday the 13th. Get rid of the black cats. Okay. Anyway, we've got a round robin competition, and we've got some pretty good things to pick from. If you participate in the round robin, normally if you go to the range to shoot, it's $10 all night to shoot. Okay. But if you participate in the round robin competition, it's $20. You get to shoot all night, you get to compete, you get good training, and if you're lucky or if you're skilled, you have the opportunity of winning a really nice prize. And we've got a few up for selection, and it's all based on the round robin rules and depends on the number of people. But we've got the Glock 17 long slide. Go to the Facebook page at Aaron's Gun Shop to take a look at it. We've also got a Mossberg 590 Shockwave, and we've got a Sky 9mm CPX-2 pistol. So you can take a selection from one of those based on the round robin rules. And so we'd like you to get there by 6:30 on Friday. We start promptly at 7, and it's a lot of fun. Go to Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel and look at some of the round robin footage. You'll get to see and get an idea of how it works. And also go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the homepage, and at the top there's a link that gives all the rules and regs on how to compete in that competition. Also, on October 20th is Ladies' Night. Ladies have free range time, so guys, bring your ladies. Ladies, bring your ladies. The ladies shoot for free that night, okay? And that's the third Friday of every month. The second Friday of every month is the round robin, and this round robin is on Friday the 13th, October 13th. Now, if Mark doesn't call, let me tell you what's going on here. Grace Church here in Cameron is having Grace Fest. They've done this before, really good success. It's getting bigger and better. And, oh, I've actually got a flyer here. Let me see if I can read this flyer. Saturday, October 7th, that's today, at Grace Church, located at 808 West 16th Street in Cameron. We'd like to invite everyone to their annual Family Fun Festival from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This family-friendly event will include an arts and crafts festival, food booths, horse and buggy rides, live music, auction, raffle, carnival games, bounce house, face painting, kids, train and petting zoo. Go ahead and answer it. See if it's Mark. And if you're interested in renting a 50, well, that's...
Is this Mark?
Done. Is this Mark on the line? That's Mark. Put him on the... Hey, brother, how you doing?
We're on the air.
Can you
hear having a ball, man. Everything is so busy out here. We've got all kinds of madness happening out here at Grace Church.
All right. Well, you keep talking. I can't hear you, but I can. I know everybody else can hear it. Trey, can you put me on the speaker over there? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, out here at Grace Church, we got this Family Fun Festival, and we got music. We got the fire trucks out here. We got the classic car show. We've got kiddie rides. We got a train ride. The petting zoo is setting up. We got the Armed Forces recruiters out here. We got a lot of things happening. We got live bands, music. We've got over 50 vendors. Right now I see a Photoshop being set up right now for family fun photos. Ah, we've got all kinds of great stuff, not to mention the food. We got all kinds of crazy food happening. We got a live auction going on around the noon hour. We've got a silent auction happening right now. And one of the big hits on this silent auction is we have a football, but not just any football. This football is the 700th game of the Yo football team, and it's been signed. This is the 700th game football.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I bet you
what's more impressive, Mark, is the parking. I bet you the parking is totally under control. You're managing it, right?
the parking. Sorry.
All right, brother. Listen.
I gotta let you know that it was the 700th win football.
Okay. So, well, everybody, look.
No team.
Take him down.
Go ahead.
All right. Look, we're gonna have to let you go. I got tactical snacking coming on, but everybody, go to Grace Fest in Cameron, And if you have any questions, give us a call. We'll lead you to it. But you can see the signs all through town. Just follow it and listen to the fun and excitement at Grace Church here in Cameron. Okay. Trey, let's get this lovely lady on. Janae, come on over here. Let's get you set up. And you got a promo for her?
Oh, not yet. We're working on that.
All right. Well, Janae's coming in, and she's going to be talking and taking a look at the do's and don'ts of healthy eating habits. So, Janae, take it away.
All right. Greetings, my lovelies. My name, of course, is Janae Goodman, and thanks for tuning in. Today, I want to talk about the do's and the don'ts of healthy eating habits. So let's get down to some tactical snacking. Just a reminder, I am not a doctor. I am simply a woman with too much knowledge for my own good. But that's your gain, so we're good. I see all these fad diets and insane food trends, and we've all been there with our significant other or our best friends, and they tell us about the benefits of eating nothing but cabbage or grapefruit for every meal. Crazy, right? Or about how gluten is evil and terrible for your health. It's really not. But eating right does not have to be difficult, so let's talk about it. Cleanses. Are they good for you? Well, the ingredients in them typically are, and they're fantastic for your health. But what's not great is that you're starving your body to quote-unquote detox it. Cleanses are said to fight fatigue, constipation, bloating, bad breath, headaches, inflammation, this list goes on. But I have a secret for you. We are all human beings, and these are health issues that just about all of us have to deal with. Our bodies are designed to cleanse our systems for us. Our kidneys and our lungs have the exact job of filtering out impurities. Drinking nothing but concoctions and juices isn't going to do anything for you, but cause you to starve and crave sustenance. Sure, the results are weight loss, but a vast majority of that weight comes from water or muscle mass, neither of which you want. The weight loss is actually a result of your body protecting you from starving to death. As soon as you get back to eating regularly, the weight has a chance to come back, and it may even increase because your body is so excited to have that nutrients back, and it grabs in everything it can to make sure that you stay healthy. Instead of drinking some concoction of cayenne pepper and lemon juice just to lose weight quickly or fight diseases, why not just incorporate that into your cleansing meals every day? Think of it more of a boost instead of a cleansing. Seek vitamin-rich foods like leafy greens. You could do spinach or cabbage for energy boost, or maybe broccoli and pineapple to help with inflammation. Because let's face it, lemon cayenne chicken sounds better as a dinner option than it does as a morning shake anyway. I also want to note, do not eat anything that you are not comfortable with. If you're eating all these crazy complex products and following trends, you won't stick to your plan very long. My advice is to look for alternatives to the rich, indulgent foods that you already eat. Desserts are viewed as the devil of failed diets, and they really shouldn't be. Sugar is not bad for your health, but what is bad is the overindulgent sweets that you would eat. Don't look to have them avoided entirely. In my experience, I end up fighting that craving and giving in tenfold. I'll eat an apple saying, well, that's a healthier choice for me. But then I also end up eating grapes and a sugar-free bar and the entire piece of cake that I was trying to avoid in the first place. So instead, just know that it's okay to say yes from time to time. Just remember that you don't have to eat the entire portion to be satisfied. I promise, it gets easier to say no when you keep your goals in mind. What about sugar-free and diet items? Many sugar-free or diet-labeled items don't really contain sugar per se, but they do have sugar alternatives. Some are sucralose or aspartame, or they may have sugar alcohols like sorbitol and maltitol. In short, these items do have a little bit of wiggle room when it comes to carbs and calorie intake, but they should still be enjoyed sparingly. In fact, I feel like it actually might just be wiser for you to take a small piece of the regular product than it would to go with a sugar-free product. The key here is balance. Not too much or not too little of anything. It could be bad for your health. It all boils down to a simple equation of input versus output. Your calorie output must be higher than the calories you consume if your goal is to lose weight. You can achieve this by either exercising or taking in less calories. If your goal is to maintain a healthy balance, get your input and output as close together as possible. Just know that there is no quick and healthy way to lose weight aside from healthy balance of food and exercise. I want to remind you to pack some tactical snacks here. That is our point, right? We are bound to get hungry through the day, so it's best to pack your own snacks instead of sourcing out immediate sustenance. Lighter options, such as popcorn, maybe fresh-cut fruit or vegetables, maybe even your homemade jerky, would be great in items to bring in. You could also do grapes or carrots, which are low maintenance. They're nutritious and helpful when you're feeling peckish. I hope this information helps you and is helpful for your eating endeavors. I'd love to hear your feedback, so send me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, four trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of Aaron apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday out there. It's going to be another hot one today, but just think, supposedly this time next week we're going to be in the 70s. Can't wait. It's also Texas OU weekend coming up next weekend, so that'll be exciting for everybody. I'm not going to say who's going to win because we probably know who's going to win that game, but anyhow, it'll be an exciting weekend. Hey, I've decided to do something a little different today because I'm going to repeat something I talked about 6 months ago. I tried to do a different topic every single week, but, you know, sometimes things happen, sometimes things come forward, and you want to revisit some things that happened in the past. One of the things that I also want to do before we get started is, you know, I want everybody to think a little bit about what happened out in Vegas this past week. You know, I've had people, because of my past affiliations, come up to me and say, well, what do you think about gun control? What do you think about what we ought to do about this? Folks, this was an event that gun control, not anything, would have controlled. You know, when you've got somebody who obviously has some kind of an issue and he has the money and the resources to do what he did, to rent the location he rented and to plan it, you can plan all day long, but preventing it's going to be extremely hard. And, you know, and I hate to say it's something we're going to have to get used to in our country, but, you know, we're going to have to get used to things like this happening. Doesn't mean we like it. Doesn't mean it's right. But, you know, we can't throw the whole washtub out with just the baby or vice versa. So please understand that. And say a prayer for the families of those that were affected during this. And say a prayer for your first responders who ran toward it instead of running away from it. Well, what we're going to do today is, and I suppose most of y'all are well kept and well up on the news. If you're not aware of it, over the last month or so, there's been a number of news reports that have come out about identity theft. Apparently, one of the three major reporting agencies, and I'm sure you're all aware that everything that goes on as far as your credit history is recorded through three credit agencies. One of them was hacked into. And unfortunately, a last count I heard, as of yesterday, there were 6 million people in the United States that have had their identity basically taken from this hack. Now, does that cause a problem for you? Yeah, it does. It causes a problem for everybody. I personally have been the victim of identity theft a number of years ago, where about $50,000 was charged against my credit card and my wife's credit card. Unfortunately, we found out, and I say unfortunately, the person that was in charge of buying all these things on these credit cards was located, they were found, and unfortunately nothing was done. It's not a big fish. Usually the federal government, under the Federal Trade Commission, who handles most identity thefts on the nationwide level, won't touch it if it's not over $100,000. Well, let me tell you, folks, $10,000 to me is a major breach of my economic condition. $1,000 right now is a major break of that. So what I want to do is, let's look at this a minute. You know, that's one of the most frustrating crimes of all, that attacks us unknowingly and becomes a multi-billion-dollar white-collar crime that's far-reaching and affects personal's financial security. You know, I've talked about this in the past, but this is vitally important again due to the recent attacks. If they can do it to one of the three major reporting agencies, then they or whomever who's doing it can do it to almost any individual. The fact that our economy has, in all honesty, it's not been as stable over the last 20 years as we'd like to see it, but when you have an economy that is up and down, good to bad, bad to good, vice versa, unfortunately, white-collar crime usually grows as in opposition to what we call the blue-collar crime, which is your burglaries, your thefts, your robberies, etc. You know, a few weeks ago, I was contacted by an individual who knew my past history as police chief and police officer, and she was basically in tears. She was basically distraught because her identity had been stolen. Someone had taken her identity and had taken out a number of credit cards in her name, and she wanted to know what to do. You know, it ended up being that she ended up owing almost $75,000 on something she had never purchased. She had bought something like $10,000 worth of computers from QVC. She doesn't even have a QVC card. Well, folks, when things like that happen, you got to be able to do and know what to do. Sure, she was able to get the money reversed and taken out of her account, but unfortunately, that's going to take her forever to get her credit built back up, to get her credit reversed. Just because you get paid back by your bank or just because you get paid back by your credit card company, that doesn't mean that your financial history is clear. It takes a while. You know, it required her to put a credit card alert on all of her credit cards. And let me tell you, that's not fun. Because when you have a credit card alert, that means every time you go to use your credit card, you're going to have to call and get it approved and authorized. That's from a 10-cent item all the way up to a multi-$1,000 item. And unfortunately, that is inconvenient. But security sometimes is inconvenient, folks. You know, when you have your identity taken away from you, it literally havocs your own personal life, basically. You know, you've got a plan. You have to do what is right. And the key is to not to become a victim in the first place. Know how to deal with these things without seeming too elementary. And I hope I'm not embarrassing anybody, or if I'm not talking down to anybody. But secrecy is a must when you come to your financial. Almost all of us on a daily basis peruse the internet. Every one of us do. Some of us look at things that we shouldn't look at. Some look at things we should look at. But through technology, our lives have been made much simpler because of the internet. Unfortunately, that same internet creates a havoc for our financial conditions. I'm going to ask you right now, how many of you pay your bills on the internet? How many of you do your banking on the internet? A lot of us do. It's so convenient. Instead of having to write a paper check, all we have to do is look at, put our numbers in, put a little code in, and whap, our bills are paid. Well, folks, if we can send things over the internet through wires and through aerial transmissions, the same thing can be done, can be received by those who are trying to harm us. So you have to think about things like that. You got to use common sense when dealing with the internet. If you use your credit card to purchase anything, and this is really important, folks, if you use your credit card to purchase a thing, you need to make sure that when you're looking up at the top of the screen where you have the URL or the address or the internet location you're trying to find, make sure that that is HTTPS. If that S is not at the end of it, then you do not have a secured site. And anyone can hack it. Anyone can get into that. So make sure that you have a site that says HTTPS as your site. You know, if you have something like that happened and you have a theft that does occur, you're protected to a great degree. Number one, geographic locations many times encompass thousands of miles from where the perpetrator is to the victim. You say, well, I called my local police department. I called my local law enforcement agency. Not going to do a bit of good, to be honest with you, except that it's going to make it documented and it's going to be able to get your money reversed. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that, folks. Let's say that I go out to, the finest gun range in this area, Aaron's Gun Shop. And I go out there, and then from there, I decide I'm going to go buy me one of the best weapons I could find down in Heidenhammer at the gun shop in Heidenhammer. Now, I've got a credit card that I happen to find on the side of the road. So I go down, and I start charging all these things out. And all of a sudden, whoever it is that credit card I found, they get these bills in the mail where they've charged $10,000 for guns or $20,000 to go out and shoot at a gun range. Well, folks, let me explain something to you. I can get that money back, but it's not going to get you saved back. And who's going to investigate it? Because you know what? I'm from New York City. And there's not a local law enforcement agency that has the resources to be able to go to New York City to try to find a perpetrator on something of that instance. And it aggravates you because you want something done. We all want something done right away. But you know what? If we don't protect ourselves and we don't take care of our own finances, it's not going to get taken care of, to be quite honest. Don't mean to be a downer for anybody. Don't mean to be a loaner for a bank or anything of that nature. But it's just not going to happen, folks. You have to protect yourself when it comes to your financial integrity. You know, theft, it may come from something as simple as, and I know nobody in this listening area of all 1 million just listening to this radio show today. I know none of you have ever received in the mail those notices that say, cheap rates, take our credit card out, or a one-time offer for X number of months, you can get free credit. Folks, if they can get that out of your mail and they send that in and just change a simple address on it, somebody's got a credit card in your name. So what you need to do is when you get those in the mail, if you're not going to avail yourself of the whatever it is they're offering, you need to make sure that you shred that. Don't just put it in the trash. Don't just lay it around. Don't just throw it back on the street somewhere. You need to shred it, and I mean shred it into little bitty pieces. Every homeowner, anyone who has finances, whether you're a apartment dweller homeowner, you need to own a simple $39 shredder, $29 shredder you can get at Walmart, Home Depot, or any place like that. Make sure you shred all of your documents. Also, that involves your medical records, too. If you get a bill from a hospital, most hospital bills are going to have your medical ID number on it. Some hospitals use your Social Security number for that. You need to know how to protect that. You need to be careful with that. Don't ever carry extra credit cards with you, Social Security cards, birth certificates, or passports in your wallet or purse. Have copies of it. Leave your originals locked up in a safe somewhere. Don't click on links or emails you receive financial institution information from because it could be it's not from your bank. You need to call. You need to verify any conversation that comes through to you. And make sure your computer is automatically set to download the latest patches and fixes from the internet. Folks, internet security, internet safety is extremely important when it comes to your financial well-being. You need to make sure that you install and make sure that you totally put in some kind of a safeguard.
Hey, Chief, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but Mark, our retired Green Beret, wanted to ask you to mention this too because of your topic here. He made the comment, and then you can address it. He said, talk about social media and these morons that want to find out more about you, so they run scams about asking your birthday, what's your favorite color, who's your uncle, where you're from, things like that. building up a profile on you and claiming it to be you on social media.
Absolutely.
And he says that you rock, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, we don't need to make our lives an open book on social media. All of us do social media in today's world, or most of us do. But when they start asking pertinent information about your date of birth, when you start filling out information on your date of birth, whether it's a dating site, whether it's a financial site, you need to understand that if they can see it, other people can see it. Don't put anything on there, anything that is true to the being. If you're going to decide to sign up for some site, sign up for a month or two off from what you do. They don't know the difference. And make sure that you never give out any information, especially on the internet or through social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever. Well, I'm about out of time, folks, and I would like to go on, but I know that I've got to cut this short. Protect your PIN number. Don't let people know your PIN number as well. Have a great week, everybody. Be safe, and we'll see you next Saturday on the radio.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
We'll be right back.
are back. Today is October 7th, 2017. We've got about another 40 minutes left in the program, and we are now up on our product spotlight segment, and that is brought to you by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've known Arch Kuntz for quite a long time, and the man is steadfast in his kindness and courtesy. He runs a great shop there and has a great crew. You got Clint, Dennis, Mike. He's got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, accessories.
You know, recently, Matt, I stopped by ANC Firearms on advice from you on a new rifle for my son, his first rifle ever, that Chipmunk.
Chipmunk, thank you. Yes.
It's a single shot, bolt action, 22. Perfect starter rifle, and the guys up there were great. And Art was even there, and he just friendly and nice as can be. Just nice as can be, I'm really glad that that's where I went and got that. So
he'll offer you a drink. He'll say, "What can I? You need a chair? What can I do for your special order?"
That was exactly what it. I mean, they offered us. You know, when they thought we were just browsing, said, "Hey, you want a soda while you wait?" Mm-hmm. Offered one to my son because he was there with me. I mean,
and I'll tell
fantastic
you,
people.
And I want to make a comment too. You were at that moment a customer. Me, I'm just a guy who walks in because I've known him for so long, and he's that way all the time. Whether you're a customer or not, that's who he is. That's who they are. They're very nice, very friendly people.
And you know, when people talk about the good old days, it's that kind of interaction with your merchants that they're talking about.
And it's that kind of atmosphere that shop has. Tell about the atmosphere, because I'm always talking about it. Tell about it.
It was. It's a crowded store because he's got so much inventory there. Just all of them. And there's people there, not just him and the guys that work for him. There were customers in there, and they were taking times answering questions for the customers and the customer, his sons. And they took times to answer questions for me and my son. And I mean, it's just, it didn't feel like being in a store so much as being at the local coffee shop, hanging out with the old farmers like I used to when I was a little boy and my dad would take me up there. That's what it felt like.
And it doesn't seem like they're ever rushed, too.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, they're just like, "What can I do for you?
Yeah, it's not. I'm ready for the next customer.
Take your time.
I've got your money. We're done." No, it's like,
that's right.
Stay a spell.
And this is not hype, everybody. This is the truth. So what we have today is the product spotlight is the Kel-Tec P380. Why do they come up with these weird names? I don't know. Why don't they just say Kel-Tec 380 pistol? Make it a heck of a lot simpler. But anyway, it's categorized as the Kel-Tec P380 380 pistol. And you can go to my website at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. You'll see a picture of it there. It's got the price tag and the details on it. But I'm going to read to you another article. I've had one of these before. And, you know, I have my mainstays. You got 1911s and you got Glocks. That's basically my mainstays. But the in-between type of stuff, I'm always, you know, jiggling around, just whatever I'm wearing, how I'm feeling that day with my aches and pains, what I can carry, what I can't. And I've had one of these, and they're a good little gun. But let me read to you what Mike Weaver says. And to be honest with you, I forget where I got this off of, but the author of this article is Mike Weaver. And let me read it and see what he has to say. "I purchased a Kel-Tec P380 380 ACP automatic Colt pistol, semi-auto, a couple of weeks ago. I was lured by its tiny size, lightweight, and so far, I really like it. The P380 is built with a DuPont ST8018 polymer grip and trigger guard, a 7075 T6 aluminum frame that houses the firing mechanism, and an SAE 4140 ordnance steel slide and barrel. Here's how Kel-Tec describes their miniature pistol. The P380 is a semi-automatic, locked breech pistol, chambered for the 380 auto cartridge. It has been developed from our highly successful P32 pistol," and side note, it's exactly like the 380, just a different caliber, with negligible increase in weight and size. The slide stop has been eliminated and the magazine capacity reduced to 6 rounds due to the larger cartridge. The firing mechanism is a double action only. The magazine has a 6-round capacity. The Kel-Tec P380 is the lightest 380 auto pistol ever made. Thanks to its locking dynamics and superior ergonometry, perceived recoil, and practical accuracy are comparable to much larger guns. From the very beginning of the design and development, computers have been used exclusively. All machine components are also made on modern high-speed computerized equipment." Now, the author here: "I have fired 100 rounds through my P380, consisting of 50 MagTech and 50 Spear Gold Dots, and there were no malfunctions while firing. However, twice after initially inserting the magazine and racking the slide, the first round didn't fully chamber. And that's expected. You're breaking the gun in. When you have a small gun like that, you can have some burrs or whatever. And once they break in, it'll be fine. That was your host speaking just there. Let's see. Simply pulling the slide back a little bit and releasing it resolved the problem, and the cartridge loaded correctly. Both times this happened, it was the spear ammunition. So sometimes the shape of a cartridge, the shape of the nose of the bullet, sometimes that can affect it too. That's why you have to check out your guns to make sure what kind of ammo it likes to eat. I think the problem may have been due to my technique, and that's another thing too. I'm not sure that I pulled the slide all the way back on the two occasions that these failures to feed occurred. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm reading these is because it's a very important factor that a lot of people do on any gun. I notice this a lot in my classes where some people half stroke the slide. They pull it back just a little bit to let it go forward. You've got all this distance when you pull the slide back to compress the spring so the slide catapults back into the forward direction, ramming in the cartridge into the chamber. Or some people release the slide and then walk it forward. That's all great opportunities for the gun to malfunction, which this guy is talking about. All right. Anyhow, once the gun was properly loaded, all rounds cycled through as expected with no hiccups. Here's the technical specifications. The caliber's 380. It weighs unloaded 8.3 ounces. Loaded. Loaded magazine is 2.8 ounces. The length is 5.2 inches. Height is 3.5 inches. The width is 0.77 inches. That's pretty skinny. Sight radius is 3.8 inches. Magazine capacity is 6 rounds. Trigger pull is 5 pounds. Now, I want to make a comment on this trigger pull. If you have a large hand, here's what's going to happen with this firearm. The heel of the gun where you insert the magazine is going to go midway in your palm. And when you go to pull the trigger on this small gun, the gun is going to want to dip down. The nose of the gun is going to want to dip down because the heel doesn't have really a good place to lock itself in your palm. Here's the perfect solution. I've done it and it works fantastic. Get yourself an extended mag of one or two rounds, and they have the magazine with a sleeve on it that matches perfectly up with the grip of the gun. And what that does, it extends it just a little bit more to go into the base of your palm. And so when you go to pull the trigger, the fulcrum point on that trigger, the attitude of the trigger changes and it's much easier to pull the trigger. So if you got a small hand, no problem. If you have a big hand, you might want to consider an extension mag just to alleviate that slight little potential problem. Now, back to the author. I was pleasantly surprised that the recoil was not nearly as bad as I had imagined. I did not find the recoil to be a problem. I have large hands and my ring finger of my shooting hand only partially rests on the grip. That's what I just told you about. So get an extension mag on that. The other thing I liked about the Kel-Tec P3AT was that I could shoot it accurately, at least by my standards, which is the author, which granted leave of a lot of room for improvement. My other handguns included a Glock 19 and Glock 22. These were my first handguns and the ones with which I learned. Out to about 25 feet, my groups were similar in size to what I get when I shoot the bigger guns. Now, he's doing it consistently. To be honest with you, though, if you're shooting the larger guns at 25 yards and it's equaling what your little Kel-Tec is doing, you may have some handling technique problems. One thing I'm not in love with about this pistol is the sights. They are so small and low that I find that it takes excessive time to acquire. Well, once again, it's a belly gun. It's not meant for long shots. It's meant for up close and personal self-defense. So the sights, you just point shoot, and I can teach you that extremely well. He continues, however, at that distance, I think this gun would be useful. I'm not sure how important the sights would be, even if they were better. Overall, I'm very impressed with the little Kel-Tec P3AT. And ladies and gentlemen, it's only like $200-something. And it's very light. It's very skinny. It's small. It's a dumb gun. You just load it and pull the trigger. That's all you got to do. And it's been out for years. Thousands of people have it. I've had one before. And don't forget, if you got a larger hand, you might want to consider the extension mag that has the sleeve that links up right with it. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Trey, let's take us out with Phil Collins. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to be going over my 7 stages of preparedness. We'll have Trey on here. We'll have Janae. Janae's still with us. She's awesome. So we'll see what she has to say about preparedness aspects of it. And we'll talk a little bit about that and take us to a break. Then we will have Master Cindy Key talking martial arts.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's October 7, 2017. We're coming up on our last 27 minutes of the show. And in this segment, I don't have an interview, really. I just going to tell you some of my thoughts. And basically, I was thinking about preparedness. And I'll tell you why I was thinking about preparedness when I was preparing for the show. It had to do with Vegas, the Las Vegas shooting. And I was just watching everybody, and I'm saying, how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare? There's ways to prepare. Don't misunderstand me. For example, if you're in that large crowd, you always want to know where your exits are. You want to get a good glance at the things around you just to get a good idea of what's happening. For example, if I'm in a restaurant, I usually pick the seat that's to the wall. I want to observe my entry points, my windows, who's in there, who the help is. Is there anybody strange in there looking that I'm kind of concerned about? Things of that nature. So there's always ways to prepare. And I was doing that based on the Las Vegas shooting. Looking at the footage of people just standing there and then falling down to the ground, just waiting to be shot. So there's definitely things you can do, but I'm sure it's limited when you're de-armed. And even if you were armed, there wasn't really anything you could do. So the seven stages of preparedness is based on my life. But let me go over something here. I had a red pill moment in 2006. And until that point, I was consuming blue pills. And for me, blue pills were idealism, purism, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. You remember that commercial? Serve your country blindly. The news speaks the truth, the facts, etc., etc. So before I go any further, I want to make sure y'all understand blue pill, red pill. Because Janae and I were discussing, is it the red pill or is it the blue pill? Which one is it? So Trey, talk to us and tell us where that concept comes from. The movie, and tell everybody so we're up to speed here.
All right, so there's several years back, and by several years, I mean like 15, 16, 17 years back, there's a movie that came out. It's a fairly popular movie called The Matrix. Now, the whole concept behind this movie was all of reality that people saw was actually not real. It was in their heads. And there were a group of people that were outside of it. They had figured out, and they could get in and out of this sort of dream world. But when they would find someone they felt could help them with their struggle, they would offer them a blue pill and a red pill. With the blue pill, they stayed in the dream. Everything seemed normal. Everything was fine. They took the red pill, and they got to look behind the curtain, so to speak, if you remember your Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the wizard, and he has this big head floating, right? But if you look behind the curtain, you saw the real story, what was really going on behind the scenes. And that's kind of what Matt's talking about. You can take that red pill, start learning what's might actually be going on behind the scenes, not what we're being fed or being led to believe.
Now, there's a difference, everybody, because I was there too. You live in this idealism, this purism type of lifestyle, thinking of the way it's supposed to be. But when somebody presents it to you that it's not that way, in a very good, precise manner, somebody you trust, and you refuse to search it out yourself, then, you know, you're just lost. Who wants to be led by others? Who wants their life dictated by others? I guess the weak do, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, my red pill moment came to me when I watched the Zapruder film of President Kennedy being shot and all the other footage they conveniently didn't promote because it shows the contradiction of a one-shooter scenario. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. He was not shot by one shooter. You can say what you want. You can say I'm a conspiracy theorist. I don't care. I see it. When you get shot in the chest, you clench your hands to the front. When you get shot and your head blows off from the rear or the side, I mean, you can tell bullet trajectories, okay? And I'm not going to get into here. I guess I could, but I'm not going to. But as the red pill went through my system, I just realized how behind the curve I was when it came to being ready for life in general. I don't trust the government to be there for me when calamity hits. I don't. I've seen it up there in New York when a hurricane hit up there. And people were screaming, why aren't you coming to help me? Why aren't you coming to help me? Well, get off your duff and do something about it. So with that, let me tell you about my red pill moment and what happened here. And I got the 7 stages of preparedness. And if you can call in if you want, 254-697-6633. And Trey and Janae, you just chime in when you're ready. But here are the 7 stages of preparedness. And this is my life. You may do something else. You may have a 1A or a 2B or a 3C. I don't know. But here we go. Stage number 1 is ignorance. Lack of knowledge or information. I was in idealism, purism, thinking this is the way it is. My life was dictated by how I was raised. You know, that's a good way to be raised. You know, with good, pure thoughts and love of country and all this kind of stuff. But if you're ignorant to what's really happening behind the curtain, it can cause problems. So which brings us to stage number 2 in my life. Realization. That's an act of becoming fully aware of something as a fact. So when I'm doing my homework in my research and I all of a sudden I see things and I swallow that red pill, oh my gosh, the world opened up, the curtain was drawn back and I saw what was really happening. It's all a lie, a manipulation, a perversion of how it's supposed to be. And because of that, I go to stage 3. Stage 3 is panic. Sudden uncomfortable fear or anxiety, often causing wildly unthinkable behavior. Once I realized how far behind the curve I was of preparedness, I freaked out. I go, oh my gosh, I see the world. The curtain's drawn back. I see the world for how it is. It's all a sham. Nobody's going to help me but me. And so there I go. I'm just doing what it takes to get ready. And because of that, stage 4 comes. Burnout. Physical or mental collapse caused by overwork or stress. I was going so fast, so hard, so strong, so one-minded on getting prepared, I burned out. And you know what happens when you burn out? You just don't care anymore. You're wasted. Your brain is drained, okay? Which brings you to the next stage, and that's recovery. Recovery, a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. So I sit back after saying, I got to take a break from all this stuff. I sit back, and I'm like, okay, I got my strength back up. My brain's recouped, the whole works. And then I reevaluate it and go to number six, stage six of preparedness. And that's modify. Make partial or minor changes to something, typically so as to improve it or make it less extreme. So here I'm saying, oh my gosh, I'm way behind the curve. I've burned out in the process of getting prepared. I finally recovered. I said, okay, look, it still exists. The guy behind the curtain is still there. The lies are still being said. I understand it now, but you know, I know how to handle it better. So I'm going to modify it and adjust it, which brings me to stage seven, and that's maintain. Cause or enable a condition of state of or state of affairs to continue. Matt's seven stages of preparedness is ignorance, realization, panic, burnout, recovery, modify, and maintain. So where are you on the list? Where are you on the stages of preparedness? Trey, Janae, what do you think about that?
Well, honestly, I feel like at this point, I mean, I remember being a kid and just being ignorant to everything going on in the world. And I think my moment was 9/11 for me, what happened in 2001. And of course, all these theories came out about how it was the government that was behind these towers, because if you have a tower completely made of steel, how is one object going to cause a complete collapse of two towers, right? So that was kind of my moment, being in second grade at this point, saying, okay, something's not quite right here.
Wow.
I mean, these theories can't just come out of left field, right? Is that just me, or I know I'm going to get a lot of gripe for this, but
that's... You're going to get gripe about this because you just made me feel, you just made me realize how old I am. Oh my gosh.
I wasn't going to say anything. Oh, because man. How do you think I feel? I'm the one dating you.
Wow. Okay. Keep going.
But I mean, it's gotten to the point where I feel like I'm at the burnout stage, where I'm seeing, you know, the constant news stories where I really, I'm just over it, where it's the constant backlash and believing that your news sources are there to protect you and feeling that they're really not.
Nope.
Just knowing that you have your set amount of knowledge and there's nothing in the world that can change that for you.
You know how we know that the mainstream media is full of it with an agenda? You know how we know? It's because cell phones. It's because I got eyes and I got ears,
yep,
and I see the event happening,
yep,
and I hear the event happen. I hear what the people say. It's... And then all of a sudden you put this swing on it for an agenda. I say, that's not the context that he had it in or she had it in. That's not what happened. Why aren't you showing this, like on the Kennedy, yep, assassination? You're only going to show the Saputo film that people, yep, say, oh, there it is. No, you didn't see all the other films, like the motorcycle cop running to the grassy knoll with hundreds of people following him to stand up on the wall and say, there he goes, or where's he going? How do we get to him? You don't see that. And when you see it, you go, hey, wait a minute here. I thought it was just the guy up there in the book depository.
Well, Matt, you know, you and I have discussed this several times. Another way is the fact that you look at all of the different major media outlets. You know, you got your television news, Fox, CNN, CBS, CNBC, ABC. Then you've got your major newspapers. You've got your major news magazines. They're all owned by, you know, one of like four or five different companies,
right,
and that's it.
And they're all producing the same exact stuff.
I'm going to slaughter these statistics, but it says about 90% of all media is owned by about six or seven large families or corporations, and they're all into the same like-mind thinking. So that's why you hear the same stuff coming from everybody at the same time.
And it's why you always have the ones that seem like they're at odds are always at odds on the same exact subjects in the same exact way.
Right.
It's one puppeteer, two puppets, same puppeteer, and if you don't like this guy, they're going to sway you over to this guy, which is doing the same thing. They're going in the same direction.
If I could interject, like with me, I'm from Houston, of course, so I'm in the middle of Hurricane Harvey and all of the things going on and watching all of this news coverage and looking at all the footage and realizing that what is put out in the media was not the same exact thing going on in Houston. Granted, it was a lot of damage.
Yes.
But not to the extent that the media was conveying. I mean, you did have people flooded out of their homes. You did have plenty of people in shelters.
Here's a perfect example. I'm not taking anything away from what the hurricane did. Don't get me wrong. But the media, here's a perfect example. They get flat-bottom boats.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person sitting in the boat because they can't make it out of the area. And the guy pulling the boat is in calf-deep water.
Right.
I'm like, give me a break, right, man. Give me a break. Get and, off your
and
butt
like you
and
said,
walk out.
There, that's not an excuse to take anything away from a catastrophic event. But at the same time, guys, I mean, come on.
You know, there'd be a lot more rescuing
on fear
if people were willing to do some of the rescuing of themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Themselves.
I mean, my good mentor was out with her rescue boat or with her boat rescuing those who were in houses that hadn't been flooded quite yet, but they were in danger of being flooded.
Now, I've seen cell phone footage of people helping people, mm-hmm. and they put it on the internet,
yes,
and you
absolutely.
Say, hey, that's genuine and, compassion and
right.
help for someone. But when they do it where somebody's in a flat bottom boat and the camera's on it and they're in calf deep water, I mean, they're just trying to sell a product.
Yeah, and it also gets to the point, like I said, they're capitalizing on the fear. And they're trying to promote people to get prepared. And as I've always seen it, you are either prepared or you're prepared to fail. So it's one or the other. You can't call yourself prepared and then start panicking when everything else happens.
And it's that word right there is mm-hmm. what they bank on. Panic.
Yes.
Because when you panic, we talked earlier
exactly.
about flight, fight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're banking on, that panic. Because most people are going to freeze or fly. They're going away, and they want to focus on that. And the more they can encourage that,
yeah, the more they can.
I'm sorry, you're right. This is getting way deep in conspiracy theory territory.
I got good news for you, though, Janae. You said your burnout. After burnout comes recovery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So that's the good part.
All right. I mean, you can look at that at all sorts of things that's going on in the news. It's just, you got to take your pill. Take your red pill. If you take your red pill, then you can prepare yourself for the stuff that's coming up. You can be prepared in advance. If you're in the blue pill, government's going to take care of me.
The whole key to the red pill, though, do your own research.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay? You got, don't, one source research is not research. One source research is not research.
Even with...
If you're using major news outlets,
I'd
find some
minor.
Read some
definitely.
Blogs. Read some online news. Check out... compare the stories you get, okay? Learn to think for yourself and figure out what's evidence and what's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to parse through that and separate it. Otherwise, you're not doing yourself any good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think, Trey, what we're going to do, we're going to, let's take a couple minute break. But the seven stages of preparedness, once again, was ignorance, realization, panic, burnout, recovery, modify, and maintain. And so take your red pills. I guarantee if you take your pill, you'll feel better. You may have sorrow because you know. What's that verse in the Bible that you like, Trey?
He who increases knowledge increases sorrow.
Explain it.
The more you know, the less happy you are with and less satisfied you are with the way things are.
But you have the ability to change it.
That's the first step to changing it.
There you go. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a 2 or 3 minute break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, October 7th, 2017. We're finalizing the show here, but we cannot end it without having Master Cindy Key come on and talk about martial arts, Central Texas Martial Arts out of Rockdale, Texas. Miss Key, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on. Let's get that mic in front of you there.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, too. I'm enjoying this show, actually.
Well, I hope so. And I'll tell you what. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I went to her studio when was it?
Tuesday,
thank you. And I recorded Master Key and Bruce, right?
Bruce.
Doing some maneuvers. And if you go to my Facebook page, just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see a video there. Or go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel. 4-minute video there, you get to see them in action on just a few different moves. And we wanted to do that to give you an idea of how relatively simple it is with some practice and some training to somewhat defend yourself in certain situations. So, Ms. Key, why don't you do your thing? Talk about what you want to do. I know you've been doing week by week by week a progressive buildup, and I think this video is going to kind of match up to what you were talking about, right?
Yes.
So you've got a good 5 minutes. Take it away.
All right. Well, we've talked about, you know, being aware of your surroundings and aware of your mindset and the opponent's mindset, and then where you are in everything and figuring out what to do. Today's show is going to be talking about my favorite techniques to use if all else fails and you have to try to maneuver your way out of that situation physically. And the video that's online will show that. When he videotaped that, I didn't do it really fast so that you would be able to follow it, because if I did it really fast, it would be fast and you wouldn't see what happened. But I did it very slow, so if you want to go look at that, that'd be great. Some of my favorite hand techniques, I know guys have a lot of upper body strength, and you know, they have their guns that they love so much. So they can really hit a power punch. Not that I haven't known some women that could lay you out too. But as I get older and I have arthritis in my hands, I dislike hitting my knuckles on something hard if I can keep from it. So I still punch, but I choose to punch soft targets like the body or the throat. Yes, the groin. So I'll choose soft targets. However, a good cross punch, uppercut, those are still very good techniques, and I do use them in the video that we did on Tuesday. But one of my favorite techniques is the heel palm attack. I love the heel palm attack. You can do it to the side of the jaw. You can do it up to the chin. You can do it on that groin. And my follow-up technique is always a tiger grab. So I will rip your face off, or I will rip your groin off. You know, it's coming off. You can even get on the skin. I know that I was, my one of my large instructors got me on the ground, and I couldn't, I mean, he was so large. He was, I don't know, 300 plus pounds, and he had me trapped, and I couldn't figure out how to get out. And the only thing I could think of was I grabbed his armpit, and I squeezed as hard as I could, and he couldn't take it. So he moved just enough for me to squeeze, wiggle my way out. And he's like, he was screaming to my other instructor, the main instructor, Miss Ryan, "She's pinching me." Well, you know, I'm telling you, whatever works in self-defense, you know, you just use what you have to use. But I do love the heel palm attacks. I love elbow attacks. A good front kick to the groin or the knee or the side of the knee or even the back of the leg, or if you are flexible enough, to the chin. You know, that's the only time I've almost been knocked out was by my daughter, front snap kick to the chin. And now I'm saying this, and now she's going to know it because I've never told her. Hopefully she's not listening. But I did have fun making that video, and I really hope you guys can go to that and look. But a good heel palm, some instructors want your fingers all the way back. Mine will not do that anymore. I have too much inflammation in my fingers. You do not have to have that. All you have to make sure is this heel palm is what's touching whatever you're striking. And then if I'm going to rip the face, my fingers come apart just like a tiger's when they're going to rip, and I come down or across or I pull out for the groin. But I love that technique. It's very effective, many situations. It's right here. I talk about all the time for kids, especially in school, and anybody, have your hands up if somebody's bothering you, because from the outside, it's a defensive look. People are like, well, you know, this looks very offensive. So unfortunately at school, if somebody's bothering you and you get mad and you close your hands, and then the teacher turns and looks, and she sees you with your hands closed. So anything after that, unless the other person has closed fists too, you're going to be the instigator, unfortunately. That's just perception of what's going on from the outside. And with the liability issues that we have nowadays too, you really don't want to look like you're the aggressor. You want to be the defender always. And then, you know, do what you have to do, you know, if all else fails. With the elbow attacks, I would like to say something is that some people think that you hit just with this point. It's not, that's not how you do an elbow attack. It starts here and you end with that point. You know, the only time you would probably, I would say you might say you'd use the point, and you're really using the back of the arm too, would be a downward elbow strike. But I love elbow attacks. I once had one karate instructor who will remain nameless. He didn't like elbow attacks, but what he was doing wasn't working for me. And I just told him, I said, well, I know what I would do in this situation. And he's like, what would that be? And I said, well, let me do that again and I'll show you. And I hit him with an elbow attack. And I hit him, he's a fairly large man, but I hit him in the solar plexus, and then I came up and hit him in the chin. And he said, well, that'll work too. But I'm like, I know, I love elbows. They don't hurt my hands. So I love elbows. And a good front kick, oh my goodness, a good front kick. There's different kinds of front kicks, and I'll show in my videos later that you can utilize a front snap kick, which is like a whip, a front thrust kick, which is pushing through somebody like a really hard thrusting punch, and then front push kick, which you hit with that heel and it's like a push too. So you know what, this is Master Cindy Key from Central Texas Martial Arts. Come join me for some classes if you'd like to learn some more, or see Matt's video that he took, and we'll try to teach you a little bit online too. Be blessed and be safe.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. running down the